Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
If not for you, I would surrender to my fears. And hope would surely slip away. Yeah. I find comfort knowing you are near. I'm ready to say.
Lesson 143, Fleeing from Idolatry. In our last lesson, we saw the example of Paul denying his Christian liberty to receive financial support for his gospel work. He did this to prevent any accusations against him. He did not want anything in his own life to be a hindrance to the gospel. In today's lesson, Paul will warn the Corinthians of the dangers of becoming self-indulgent and testing the Lord through association with idolatry. Our last lesson ended with Paul speaking about how carefully he disciplined himself in his own Christian life so that he did not take advantage of legitimate liberties. Such liberties may have given opportunity to fleshly lust that would not only lead to sin but would rob him of a godly testimony and future reward at the judgment seat of Christ. He called this being rejected or disqualified. In this chapter, he will use the illustration of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Though the Israelites were abundantly blessed by God, they suffered God's judgments because of their ungodly lusts and idolatry. Paul informs the Corinthians about the ancient Jews, in case they were not aware. He said God had provided them guidance and protection by His presence, a miraculous deliverance from their enemies, leadership through Moses, and a miraculous provision of food and drink to sustain life. Christ is identified here as the source of water and life. Though God had provided for, guided, protected, and led the Jews, they lusted for evil things, were idolaters, committed fornication, challenged God's appointed leader, and complained and murmured against Moses and God. For their rebellion, God judged them, and many of them perished in the wilderness. Israel's privileges and their sins were written down to warn and admonish future generations, including all Christians. As we consider how frequently Israel proved unfaithful and rebellious, it serves to remind us that we should not become proud of our position in Christ, lest we also fall into similar temptations and sins. We all face various temptations to sin, but God knows all about the temptations we face and provides a way of escape from the temptation. God does this because He loves us and does not wish to judge us. Therefore, Paul warns the Corinthians as well as every Christian to flee away from idolatry. Here we should understand idolatry includes more than just worshiping a golden calf, as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Idolatry is also associated with the lusts of the flesh that led them to lust for food, drink, and sex. They were not satisfied with what God had provided for them. God has been gracious to forgive our sins when we trusted in Jesus as our Savior, and therefore He will not look lightly upon blatant indulgences of the flesh, which suggests that our sins are more precious to us than God's Son, who gave His life to cleanse us from sin. Such behavior suggests that our gratification is more important to us than God is, and that is what makes it idolatry. Having warned Christians to flee from idolatry, Paul now shows the horrible inconsistency of participating in idolatry, while also seeking to participate in Christian fellowship. Paul expects the Corinthians to make wise judgments about this. He asks them rhetorically about the communion enjoyed by Christians when taking bread and wine at the Lord's Supper. Both the bread and wine speak of the common relationship and blessings the believers find in Christ. In the Old Testament, the priest and sometimes the person making an offering would also eat of the offering, thus showing their fellowship or communion with God. We can think of this partaking of the sacrifice as being in agreement with God about our need for a sacrifice to remove sin. Eating the offering was not simply to gratify a person's need for food, but to associate with God's judgment against what is evil. Idols were nothing, just images created by men, and any food offered to idols was also nothing. Therefore, it might seem harmless for a Christian to eat food offered to idols. However, Paul is now going to point out that if we eat things offered to idols, it may appear to others that we are having fellowship with those idols. We know in our own conscience that the idol is nothing, but others may actually think we are approving and associating with idols at the same time as fellowshipping with Christ and his followers. Paul points out that though idols are nothing, there are demons associated with idols. An offering made to an idol is the same as making an offering to a demon. Clearly, a Christian should have nothing whatsoever to do with the worship of demons, and therefore must keep himself away from idolatry. Paul deals with some problems that the Corinthians would have to face when encountering idolatry, which was very common in Corinth. If they bought meat from the market, they could not tell if it had been offered to idols. They did not have to concern themselves about whether the meat had been offered to an idol or not, for in the Psalms it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." This means that a Christian is free to eat any food which the Lord has provided. The next concern was if an unbeliever invited a believer to eat at his home. The Christian was free to eat the food put before him and need not ask questions about whether it had been offered to an idol. However, if someone should point out to the Christian that the food had been offered to an idol, then the Christian should abstain from eating it, to answer the sensitive conscience of the believer who made it known. This was showing love and concern for the conscience of his brother in Christ. We are responsible to not only answer to our own conscience before God, but also to be mindful and careful that we do not needlessly offend the conscience of our fellow believers. The overriding principle that should govern a Christian's attitude is, whatever he does should be done for the glory of God. The Christian should also be sensitive to different groups and different beliefs and customs, whether Gentile, Jew, or the church, and be careful to act in a manner that will be for their spiritual benefit and salvation. The Christian should learn to not please himself, but to do all he can to help others to know and follow the Lord Jesus. So as we finish today's lesson, I ask you, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you forsaken all your idols and fully identified yourself with Jesus as Lord of your life? Today would be an excellent time for you to make that choice. So why not confess to him your sin and ask him to forgive and cleanse you today? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, one body in this one.
for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learn that Christians are in danger of falling into idolatry, just as the children of Israel did when they were in the wilderness. We also heard that association with idols is inconsistent with being a Christian, and that Christians should guard their behavior to ensure it does not offend, but rather brings glory to God. Someone might ask the question, how can a Christian overcome temptation? We all live in a world that is full of sin and temptations to sin. The Christian is not free from temptation because he still has a sin nature that is attracted by sin. The Christian is in a battle to overcome temptation, and that battle is an ongoing everyday experience. Perhaps some Christians listening to this message are feeling discouraged and overwhelmed by the sin that constantly weighs them down and steals away their joy. While a Christian should never excuse sin or make light of sin, he should also be aware that temptation is the common experience of all men. We read in today's chapter how that no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. This means that you are not alone in your battle against sin. Others are also battling just as you are, trying to fight against temptation. For some it might be alcohol, for another it could be a problem with anger, or yet another with perpetual lying, or another with lust. We may try to conquer our particular foe, but feel we are in a losing battle, and so just give way to the temptation, falling back into the same sin time after time. Recognize that Christians are the target of the devil, for he wants to discourage and defeat Christians and rob God of the glory that is due to him. Satan can never steal us away from Christ, but he can certainly have an influence on our service, joy, and future reward. God allows Satan to test us, for in the testing our faith is strengthened and our loyalties and love are proven. The battle is not easy, and many Christians are struggling to overcome temptation. What can a Christian do? Is there hope? I believe there is hope, if not removing the temptation, at least giving us strength to deny the flesh and not yield when the temptation comes our way. The Scripture provides us with teaching that will assist us to face and overcome temptations. Number one, Jesus said that when we pray, we should ask God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through prayer, we can find strength, and God will be pleased to help our circumstances so the temptation is not in our pathway. Prayer is important and powerful, and when we are faithful to pray, the devil will flee away. Number two, Jesus also said that if your hand or your eye offends, then remove it. What Jesus means is that when we are tempted to sin, we need to take serious and drastic measures to remove whatever might be leading us to be tempted. If we are always tempted to eat the wrong foods, then we should be careful to keep away from that kind of food, so we are not tempted by it. If the internet is a temptation for lust, then stay away from the internet, or only visit the internet when you are with a friend who will keep you away from sin. If someone is tempted by the way a woman is dressed, then do not look or get away from her so you are not tempted. If watching TV programs promotes ungodly desires or bad emotions like anger, then we should turn off the TV or get rid of it. Whatever is causing us to stumble should be removed. This will help us to overcome temptation. Number three, another important and effective way to fight temptation is to fill our minds with God's Word. When our Lord was tempted by Satan, he combated against the devil by quoting Scripture. The more the Word of God becomes part of our lives through study, meditation, and memorization, the better equipped we are to resist the devil when he comes to trouble us. And number four, finally, it may be necessary to ask for spiritual help from a mature brother or sister in Christ who can help to keep us accountable. This is one important reason why God gathers together His children, not only to preach at one another, but to help one another in our battles against sin. Perhaps one mature brother is not tempted to drink alcohol, but he knows another brother who is struggling. The stronger brother can offer encouragement and help to keep the weaker brother accountable. Even spending time with a brother when he is feeling very tempted in order to prevent him from giving way to his temptation. This demonstrates Christian love and will help overcome the temptation. When one part of the body is hurting, the whole body is hurting. So each one has a responsibility to assist and heal the wounded parts. Remember that if you are struggling with sin, that God does not cast you away. God loves you and is ready to forgive you for your sin. He is sympathetic when you feel very sorry for your sin and want to live clean and holy before Him. All Christians struggle in the battle against sin, and so we should be ready to forgive and to offer help to fellow believers with whatever sin they might be struggling against. Our attitude about sin is important in the sight of God. If we are happy in our sin, God will bring judgment upon us. But when we grieve over our sin and seek to remove sin from our lives, the Lord is tender-hearted and ready to offer us the help we need. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when I was if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
One bread, one body.